It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. I'm John Schmelk, joined by Lance Meadow, as the New York Giants, coming off their bye, finally get to play another football game. It seems like forever since they knocked off the Philadelphia Eagles 15-7. On October 27th, just 2 days away, they host the Oakland Raiders as Terrell Pryor brings his very, very traditional Raider offense to town. And Lance, a lot to talk about. The Giants trying to get their third win in a row.
Against the Raiders team that clearly is struggling, coming off a loss against the Philadelphia Eagles. Was it a rare occurrence, or is it the trend? Denver and Philadelphia, the only two teams to score more than 24 points against the Raiders. So really right now it's hard to gauge which Raiders defense is going to show up, but clearly their secondary gave up a lot of big passing plays through the air for the Eagles. And when you look at the Giants on paper, you know, they're waiting for that breakout game through the air. They haven't relied on the long ball because they have adjusted their offense since Peyton Hill has came to town. I think they'll continue to do that, but you know, this is an opportunity to build off of some momentum that they had going for them before the bye when they won two games in a row, and the next three games at home, with all of a sudden the division getting closer and closer as the Vikings beat the Redskins the other night. You know, this, they have to take care of business, and it starts this Sunday.
Yeah, and Tom Coughlin talked about it a little bit, Lance. He really didn't show much of that Raiders-Eagles game to his team. He decided that that was so uncharacteristic of how the Raiders have played all season long that it's not worth it to show this to these guys. I want to show them when the Raiders are playing well, when they're at their best. They have been a top 10 defense, as you mentioned, for most of the season up until that game last week. They're very good stopping the run, but if they do have a weakness, it is in the secondary, where rookie DJ Hayden has struggled a little bit, and they have, you know, Porter's out there, Woodson's at safety, but they have struggled with the pass a bit. They don't have any really dynamic one-on-one pass rushers. They use some blitz packages, 12 different players with at least a sack for the Raiders. But it seems like you can get them through the air if the Giants' offensive line can get Eli Manning enough time to make those plays down the field, and if Reuben Randall and Akeem Nicks can take advantage of those matchups against those Raider cornerbacks.
Well, I think the offensive line has shown signs of improvement the last few weeks in terms of protection and also at least giving Peyton Hillis and company some lanes with the running game. The numbers are not necessarily explosive, but you have to take into consideration that this is not the same unit that was out there in the first few games of the season, mainly because they've overcome the injury bug in the last couple of games. They've had the same five guys on the offensive line, but the key will be to buy Eli Manning some time. Against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Raiders, to me, had a lot of miscues, a lot of mental lapses where the safety didn't come over to help the corners. So if the Giants get some one-on-one matchups, you know, it's a veteran group that the Raiders are showing in their secondary, but I think the Giants have the personnel that could take advantage of some of these matchups. Charles Woodson has provided veteran leadership, but he's up there in age. DJ Hayden, the rookie that you referenced, when they go to the nickel situation, they move Tracy Porter over, and then Hayden plays on the outside as a corner, and he got beat by Riley Cooper. He got beat by DeSean Jackson. You have to wonder, mentally, where DJ Hayden is right now. Plus, he's also nursing an injury. So if he gets out there and one Giants receiver has a one-on-one opportunity, whether it be Nicks or Randall, they have to take full advantage of that.
He's also committed three pass interference penalties this year. So you're right. As a rookie, much like it seems like a lot of this rookie class this year, quite frankly, has struggled. None of these guys have really hit the ground running. Richardson, the Jets defensive lineman, is one of the guys I think has played particularly well. But frankly, a lot of these players that were picked in the first round this year have struggled. Actually, Travis Frederick, the guy the Cowboys picked at the end of the first round, who a lot of people criticize that selection. He's played pretty well for a first-round pick. But a lot of these other guys, even those top five guys that were tackles, they've had their issues.
They had injuries, too.
No question about it. And, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson hasn't done a whole lot. Tavon Austin's been very hot and cold. He's been okay, but certainly nothing special. Eddie Lacy's been good. He was a third-round pick or second-round pick, Eddie Lacy?
I believe Lacy was a second-round pick.
End of the second round. So you haven't had a lot of impact rookies coming into the league this year, which I think is somewhat interesting. As for the Raiders' offense, it looks like no Darren McFadden with the hamstring. Terrell Pryor, really one of the most dangerous running quarterbacks. Had an interesting stat today. At this point, if the season would end today, Lance, Terrell Pryor would be the number one all-time quarterback in terms of yards rushing per game, ahead of any other quarterback in NFL history in terms of a single-season performance.
Well, I mean, he's averaging, what, nearly 8 yards per carry?
69.3 yards per game.
Clearly, he's been very effective on the ground. And the Giants have had trouble against mobile quarterbacks, John. Keep that in mind. Michael Vick, 7 carries for 79 yards in the first half of that first Eagles game. And then Cam had 7 for 45 and a touchdown. They have done a great job containing the running backs, but then it's a whole different ball game when they have to go up against these quarterbacks who are versatile, have that mobile factor, and Pryor brings that to the table. The key will be, as long as they can stop the running game again, it seems that they'll take whatever the quarterback will present. So, for example, against the Eagles, they took LeSean McCoy out of the equation. And they said, you know what? We're not going to let McCoy beat us. We'll let Michael Vick have his opportunities. Against the Panthers, it didn't work from all angles and all cylinders, because clearly D'Angelo Williams and Cam Newton had big games. Now against the Raiders, do you say to yourself, all right, we'll take away Rashad Jennings, since Darren McFadden doesn't look like he's going to play, and Jennings is dangerous both on the ground and as a receiver, and then you say, okay, we'll let Pryor have some movement and flexibility as long as he doesn't get big chunks of yards.
And I'll be very interested to see how the Giants' run defense holds up, with Sean Rogers being placed on IR to make room for Marcus Kuhn, one of two roster moves that occurred late yesterday afternoon. David Wilson, which I don't think was a huge surprise, getting put on IR as well. Andre Brown being activated. I think he'll have a smaller role this week. I still think Peyton Hillis is probably going to be your primary running back against the Raiders on Sunday. But look, I guess the Sean Rogers situation was pretty simple. He had a knee. He's a big guy. They decided it would be chronic. They'd rather have a guy like Marcus Kuhn on the active roster. Plus, I think that shows he has some faith in Jonathan Hankins, the Giants' second-round pick this year, to step in and take some of those run-stopping snaps away from Sean Rogers.
Plus the return of Marcus Kuhn. So you have some options, I think, at defensive tackle, and that was the reason why, number one, they could afford to put Sean Rogers on IR, and that's another reason why I wouldn't be overly concerned that they're now all of a sudden going to struggle against the run, because Perry Fuel has mixed and matched some of his defensive tackles. I still think they have a benefit in the numbers game, as you mentioned, a few guys. Hankins has had limited reps, but the time that he's gotten in there, he's been effective. And Kuhn, you assume, since he's been practicing the last few weeks, he's been given the green light. They have confidence that they can work him into the mix. So Rogers' injury, listen, it's a bad blow to the Giants. He's been a big run stopper. He's one of those big butts that Perry Fuel talked about at the start of this season, but they got plenty of more big butts that they can throw into the mix. Plus, you still have Linval Joseph, who's a veteran who's been out there. He's done that. And the defensive ends are making progress. Are the quarterback hits and the sack numbers where they want them to be? No. But you know what? A number of those defensive ends, John, have done well against the run, specifically a guy like Tuck.
And Jason Pierre-Paul speaking the other day, making the point that his number one responsibility is still stopping the run, but also a bit of a 180 from where he was a couple weeks ago when he said, I might not be 100% until next season. Give me some time. I'm still hurting. I've lost strength. This week, all of a sudden, he's 90% now. He had a great practice, and he's ready to be the old Jason Pierre-Paul. Quite frankly, Lance, I'm at the point, I don't care what he says. Let's see it on the field. Let's see how he produces on Sunday. That's all that matters at this point.
The old saying, talk is cheap.
Play the game.
It's time to show up on Sunday and put those numbers in the box score.
Let's walk the walk now.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. A full phone bank. We'll start with Gedalia in New Jersey. What's going on, Gedalia?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. What's going on?
Good. I want to know, what is your plan, the Giants' plan, going further? Is it the playoffs, or is it just to win some games and get a momentum going?
Well, I think those go hand in hand. You win a couple games, you get some momentum. Maybe you can make a playoff run if the rest of these NFC East teams continue to lose games and struggle. I think right now the only focus the Giants have is on the next game in front of them. This week it's the Raiders. Get a win. Cross your fingers. See what happens.
But obviously, if you look at the way division. Dallas had a win, a big win last week. Do they have any hope of getting it? Obviously, they would have to win the division in order to get into the playoffs, not get a wild card.
Well, it doesn't look like anyone out of the NFC East will get a wild card because a lot of the teams are hovering around 500. But to answer your question, Gedalia, they've got a game upcoming against Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys are playing the Saints this week. Then they go on bye. There's potential if the Giants take care of business against the Raiders and the Packers heading into that game on November 24th. They could ultimately pull into a virtual tie with the Cowboys if they were to win that contest. So there's a lot of ball games left. And since nobody's pulling away with the division, they're still very much alive.
And Gedalia, the two big games you want to keep an eye on is that November 24th game against Dallas and the December 1st game at Washington. Because they're division games. And not only will that affect the standings, it'll also affect potential tiebreakers later on. Right now the Giants just 1-2 in the division, but the Cowboys are 3-0.
Oh, okay. All right. I thank you for taking my call today.
Thanks for calling, Gedalia. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Hugo in New Jersey. We have not heard from Hugo, I don't think, since the offseason. What's going on, bud?
Well, I mean, work kind of keeps me away, but actually I have a couple of days off here, so
nice.
It's good. It's good catching up with you guys. I do hear the program at night on replay. So
I appreciate it.
Up to speed, you guys got quite a following here, and from D.C., you've developed quite a franchise, I think. Lynn from Columbia, Maryland, I mean, you should brand name some of these guys.
We'll work some sponsorships in.
Yeah.
No, you guys do a terrific job. Hey, I'm a little bit concerned with the Rodgers IR. Is that knee really that bad that deserves a season-ending IR? Just curious that with the activation of Kuhn, they took this step. I mean, I think I'm of a similar mindset to one of your other callers that, you know, thinks that those four tight ends we're carrying on the roster. It's like we have four tight ends, and it's like we have no tight ends. I mean, we have no real tight end. I mean, we have a receiving tight end and Brandon Myers. So I thought maybe one of those guys, especially Donnell, I'm not sure what the coach has seen Donnell, to be honest with you, would be the guy to go to create roster space or even the third quarterback. But
you know, Hugo, you're right, and I think I'm interested to hear what Tom Coughlin has to say today because he really hasn't been asked yet about why Sean Rodgers was the guy to go to IR, and I'm curious to see what he has to say about the knee because right now we really haven't heard anybody talk about exactly how serious the knee is and what the rationale is. So I'm with you. I think it's a risky thing to do considering how good the run defense has been, and that's really been the most consistent part of this team. And Sean Rodgers has been really a big part of that, and taking
very
him out of the equation, who knows how that's going to affect the team. So I agree with you. I'm very interested to see what Coach Coughlin has to say today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, and I know it's tough to balance the roster, but it's difficult to see a productive player go on IR when you have so many unproductive players on the roster just taking up spots. And you never know, you may get an injury on defensive tackle down the road, and wish you had the veteran presence of a guy like Rodgers giving you some snaps. So I'm really kind of concerned about that move. Not that I'm against Kuhn, because I think he could develop into a good player. I just see other weaknesses in the roster that, you know, we could maybe jettison other players, but that's neither here nor there. Hey, listen, guys, I liked your commentary early on analyzing the Raiders. You know, I just have a funny feeling about this game. The last time we spoke about a very weak secondary was and a very strong front seven was heading into the Carolina game, and I remember having this discussion with Tino one of the few times I've been able to call in. I said, at that point, I was saying, look, the Giants can't run the ball. We have to develop a short passing game. So I was kind of already kind of seeing the writing on the wall with respect to where we had to go offensively this year. And the Tino's answer was, yeah, but not this week because, you know, that Carolina defensive backfield is decimated. It's time to throw deep, blah, blah, blah. So, and I said, well, we better be careful here with that offensive line. We could get overrun if we go down that road. So I'm just really concerned that, you know, the temptations out there to try to air it out. I hope Gilbride and the coaching staff don't take the bait and continue doing what they're doing. Because I think, you know, if you don't make any mistakes, if the defense continues to play well, the Giants should win this game. But if we play into the hands of the Raiders front seven, then we could have some problems.
Hey, I'm with you, Hugo. Thanks a lot for the call, man. I'm with you on all those things. And all of us got fooled by that Panther game, by the way, not just Paul. So, in fairness to him, we all thought the Giants were going to have a big game through the air. And we all underestimated, quite frankly, how good that Carolina front seven was, and front four specifically. They've been one of the better pass defenses in the league all year now because of that pass rush. So the Panthers have certainly been a lot better than I think than people thought on defense. But Remember, we talked to Eli Manning earlier in the week, and he told us that, look, we're not really going to be a big play offense anymore. We want to get into third and manageable. We're going to make short passes. We're going to play more conservative. So, Hugo, I don't think that's going to change this week.
It's not broken, so don't fix it. You might as well stick with what's worked. And Hugo, I think, outlined it beautifully in terms of the Giants have been more effective in finally settling for some of the short passes. And I think what the Raiders are going to do is probably similar to what Carolina did a few weeks ago, which is they're going to probably try to blitz as much as they can to make up for some of the voids and holes in their secondary. Now, that doesn't mean all of a sudden if you get favorable matchups down the field that Manning needs to go for the home run. You could still settle for some of the intermediate passes and the dump-offs to your running back, because Carolina, if you go back to that game, they knew that they were decimated by injuries to that secondary. So Carolina made up for it with its front seven. They pressured with their front seven, and they got to Eli Manning time and time again. So if Oakland gives its front seven the green light, Manning doesn't need to sit back in the pocket, dump it off to the running backs, get positive yardage.
Oh, and they blitz. They will bring the pressure in this game, especially on third down. They use some creative fronts. They bring guys from all angles, secondary players, linebackers. You name it. Usually you see that type of defense from a 3-4 with different fronts moving guys around. But in their 4-3, they do the same thing. A lot of that Rob Ryan type of stuff that he does in New Orleans is the type of stuff that they do here. So a lot of disguise. And that offensive line is going to have to be on their P's and Q's. Now, this group has been together for a while in this formation. Going back to, I think, the Philadelphia games. We're talking about three or four straight games. You had that one half of David Boss in the middle there. But for the most part, it's been, you know, Pugh, Deal, Booth, Beatty, and, of course, Jim Cordell in the middle. So they've been together, and they're going to have to be ready this week because the Raiders will bring some pressure.
Well, that's why it's an easy game that you can get frustrated with, John. Because if they bring the blitz time and time again, I think you may have the urge all of a sudden, oh, my God, Manning is seeing somebody in his face constantly. I've got to get rid of the ball, or I'm going to be prone to making turnovers. And you got to stick to what's worked. You can't get flustered early in a game like this, especially keep in mind, Oakland's a team that jumps on you very early. They've been outscoring their opponents real heavily in that first quarter alone.
Yeah, I think third or fourth in the NFL this year in terms of first quarter points of 52. They've scored on three opening drives this year. They've won all three of those games. And they're a team that wants to play from ahead. They want to run the football. They run a lot of 21 personnel with two running backs. Marcel Reese and Rashad Jennings will be the two guys back there for the most part. And they run the football. This is an old-school power running game. They do not want Terrell Pryor sitting back there throwing the ball 35 times trying to come back in the second half. Getting a lead early in this game is paramount.
Because then clearly you can stick to the running game, try to win the battle in time of possession, and keep Pryor off the field to begin with.
Hey, look, Nick Farmer said it perfectly. Or was it Mike? I don't know. It was one of the Farmer brothers.
Nick or Mike.
If the Giants don't make mistakes and beat themselves this week, they should beat the Oakland Raiders. And they are the better football team, and I think that's fair.
In all three facets, I would make the argument.
201-939-4513. Ed's in Maryland. Ed, what's going on, man? Good morning.
What's up, guys? What's going on? I was really shocked about the Sean Rogers move yesterday. And I'm just like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I don't think he was that hurt. Put him on IR, and you know he was actually one of our better playing guys on the defensive line, and so I just don't know why they would, you know, I mean, Kuhn might develop into a decent player, but you know you would have to groom him to be the type of player Sean Rogers was. So I don't get the move to put Sean Rogers on IR when he was pretty much practicing this week for a guy like Kuhn who's just coming off of a major injury, and it was a seventh round pick last year. And I just hope that doesn't hurt us down the line.
Well, they must see some value in having four tight ends. And Hugo touched on this, and a number of you have called up about this in the last few weeks, campaigning for the Giants to tweak the number of tight ends they have.
But, hey, me too.
Yeah, and we've all agreed with that point. And to answer your question, Ed, I have a feeling that they just cease having some value there. You would think with John Connor now in the mix, they have a fullback. Why do you need four tight ends? Because I think you have better blocking up front. But somehow when they look at the mathematical equations based on this depth chart, they feel that they could afford to get rid of a defensive tackle because they have some depth there and they still want to keep four tight ends. That's the only logic that I could think of why they were okay with all of a sudden putting Sean Rogers on IR.
Yeah, and the only other thing I could think of, I mean, maybe you guys will probably see if, as far as Kuhn, has he gotten bigger? Because I noticed his weight last year, he was only like 298 pounds or 290-something pounds, so he's not even a 300-pounder. Sean Rogers was over 350, so that really helped us have the ninth ranked run defense this year. So, I mean, has Kuhn put on weight? Is he looking bigger? Is he looking like he's ready to be player in the second year?
I don't have an updated weight in front of me, but I can tell you, just by the eye test, Marcus Kuhn looks like he's probably put on anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds of muscle from when he got here as a rookie. He is a large, large, large fellow, and there's not a whole lot of body fat on him either. He's just a very well-built dude.
He's a brick wall right now.
I guess that's what they were thinking. Maybe he could do the same thing Sean Rogers did, but I was a fan of Sean Rogers when he was with the Lions and the Browns, and he was always the top player in the game.
Ed, what I would say, I think Jonathan Hankins fits the mold of the guy that's going to replace Sean Rogers more than Marcus Kuhn will. You know what I mean?
Hankins, he's played well. I've been hearing he's one of the top rookies this year as far as playing on the D-line, but he hasn't played much. So maybe, you know, the second half of the season, they want to see what he could do and give him some more snaps. So, that's probably the thing of it. The other thing was I don't know about keeping Peyton Hillis and Brandon Jacobs. They're the same player. And, you know, they were both signed after the season started. And Peyton Hillis was signed after Jacobs was hurt. So I'm thinking now that Andre Brown's back, you know, why keep two of the same player? Like, one of them should go. And, you know, I'm not sore about that move either. But David Wilson's going on IR, so I guess they felt, you know, with Brandon Jacobs being iffy and Andre Brown coming off an injury, you know, maybe they should keep the extra back. But
you just answered your own question, Ed. I was going to say the exact same thing. You laid it out fine. I mean, Wilson's now on IR, and Andre Brown's been injury-prone, so you can't assume that he's going to be fully healthy down the stretch.
And frankly, Peyton Hillis has been injury-prone in his career as well. He hasn't played a whole lot of football, so you keep all three guys around. Look, and they do a little bit different. I know you guys are both big guys, but Hillis is a much better receiver than Jacobs, much better, in my opinion, in pass protection. So they are a little bit different, even though they all three guys are power backs.
Plus, you can use Jacobs still on special teams, so he at least could give you more than just a running game.
True.
Right. All right, guys, that's all I had. I mean, I was just talking to other Skins and Cowboys fans. I was so happy Skins lost because they should have lost last Sunday. So now we could finally win this game Sunday and finally get out that basement fourth seed. Let's try to get the third seed, and hopefully the Eagles and Cowboys lose, and then we'll be on our way.
All right, Ed. Appreciate
Thanks
the phone
Ed
call.
Ball. Appreciate it, Ed. Good job as always. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Franco down in Atlanta, Georgia. Franco, good morning.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Franco?
Hey, man. I've been trying to call you guys for a while, man. Never can get through, but I'm happy I got through today.
Yeah, what do you got?
I think we could get this game by being the offensive line for the Oakland Raiders with the three big, strong guys in the backfield. And a lot of guys think it's going to be a blowout, but I think it's going to be a close game. We just got to keep our poses and keep to the game plan. But off the subject, man, did you guys see a little bit of yesterday's show?
You mean yesterday's game between the Vikings
and... No, the show yesterday with Paul and Anita.
No, I did not hear any of it. What happened?
And Ann called, and she made two confessions, man. She said her boss was a Redskins fan and her husband was a Redskins fan, so now we know in Big Blue City why she's miserable.
Connecting the dots here, doing some investigation.
Now, see, that's why Paul Dottino does this show. He's a great investigative reporter. He gets to the bottom of things. And, you know, now we figured out some of the reasons why Ann is so much angst on him on a daily basis.
Yes, sir. I almost threw up yesterday. Well, guys, nice talking to you. I'm at work. I can't be on the phone for long, but I hope we get this win this weekend.
All right, Franco. Appreciate the call, man. Ann really does have her own little following now.
It's amazing. Maybe we do give her too much airtime. I know we've heard it back on Twitter. We may have to rein her in a little bit.
Last time she called up to me and you, we let her say her piece. And once she started getting repetitive, we made the move.
We have to have her on a much shorter leash. Gotta bring it in a little bit.
Hey, look, if the fans like her.
Well, I think some fans can't stand her, to be honest with you.
Boss and husband, Redskin fan. That's rough.
That is rough. Yes.
Especially living down in that area. Inundated, but I'm sure Ann's probably happy this morning. She probably got a free breakfast from the husband this morning. Got to go into work, talk a little trash to the boss, who we all suspect works for the IRS. That's just the theory that we all have. So There you go.
Well, see, Giants fans, this is why there's more incentive to get the Giants getting on a winning streak here, because then you're going to quiet the ands of DCs of the world, because clearly she's not going to have nearly as much venom if the Giants start winning. She won't be able to rip Kevin Gilbride left and right. She's going to have to search her new material. So we want to challenge Ann from DC, and in order to do that,
what are you doing?
The
this
Giants
is a big
have to win some games. That's all. It's as simple
mistake.
As that.
You don't throw out challenges like that unless you're ready to answer to them.
I'm not scared of Ann from DC. I don't care if she's listening right now.
I think she might be on the line right now.
I'm amped up today.
201-939-4513. Brandon's up in Rochester. Brandon, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
I just want to talk about the everyone's talking about the move for Kuhn to come on and Andre Brown to come on.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and the fact that we got three quarterbacks, is that really necessary? Because if you look at it, like Eli Manning goes down for the season, something like that. Obviously, he's started so many games in a row. But if something like that were to happen, the season's obviously over at that point. So would it be necessary to keep the three quarterbacks?
Look, Ryan Nassib is not on this roster because of this season. He's on this roster for the future. So is it necessary for this year to have three quarterbacks? Certainly not. But they think Ryan Nassib will have something to offer down the road, and that's why he's here. And if they've kept it on this long, it's not going to change at this point.
And then the defense also, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they play against Terrell Pryor, because they've been so, you know, you saw Cam Newton ran all over us against Carolina.
And Vic did in the first half of that first Eagle game, too.
Yeah, with a bad hamstring.
So well, that was before he hurt his hamstring, but still he was affected.
It's going to be interesting to see if they can defend against him, because if he starts running wild on us, I think the Giants, you know, they're going to lose that hope. You see him get defeated a lot.
Well, you have to contain him, but you can't forget about Rashad Jennings, too, Brandon. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, Pryor, by the way, the 11th leading rusher in the NFL, I believe 6th or 7th in the AFC, averaging about 8 yards per carry. And that's including running back. So he's been very effective. I gave the stat earlier in the show. If the season would end today, Terrell Pryor would have the single highest per-game rushing average for any quarterback in NFL history. So, yeah, look, the bottom line is that if Terrell Pryor, to me, rushes for 40 yards or less in this game, I see a hard time for the Giants to lose. I just don't see it. If the Raiders win, it's going to be because Terrell Pryor wins with not only his arm, but with his legs as well.
I think the only way the Raiders win is if they get out to an early lead, and then again, the running game just takes over the game. So I think if we shut down those, we should be good for Sunday. And just one quick thing. Personally, I'm always optimistic for the season. I've been talking junk to all my buddies, saying the Giants still got faith. But I just want to take a game to game. I don't want to look forward to Dallas or Washington. Take game to game, see what happens.
Appreciate it, Brandon. Thanks a lot. Haven't heard from Brandon in a while either, actually.
Getting a lot of the regular suspects in the mix. Yeah. Real quickly about the Sean Rogers injury. Keep in mind, he missed the last game against Philadelphia, and they were still very effective in stopping the run. And I know it's only one game, and people are a little bit concerned because Rodgers has been a big part and a big factor of them containing the run.
And that's not your traditional power running game either with
true,
their spread offense.
But containing LeSean McCoy and keeping him in check is a big accomplishment.
No question.
Doing it twice is a very big accomplishment.
Huge. And then the game before that, Adrian Peterson.
So at least it's been a trend. It's not as if they've had a flash here and a flash there, and they've had to use other personnel to achieve that goal.
201-939-4513. Andrew's in New Jersey. Andrew, what's going on?
Jenkins, that's how you pronounce his name, right? Jenkins?
Colin Jenkins, correct.
The good news is that means they're high on the young guys, all the young defensive tackles, and that leads to my comment and then my question. And you have both Andrews today.
My next question was going to be, where's Andrew Sr., so I'm glad you answered that.
He's ready. I think the Giants' defense has definitely improved. They don't have the really dominant pass rush that they had like in 07 and when they had Tuck, Strahan, and OC all at the same time. But the pass rush has gotten better, and the linebackers are solidified with Beeson, and I think Paysinger is becoming more experienced. So I think the linebackers are improved, and the secondary is, I would say, probably the best, as good as they've ever had, the safeties. And my question is, the quarterback, will they run the option like when they played the Carolina Panthers? That was kind of like the death blow for the Giants in the third quarter. They switched, and the guy ran some option plays, and that was like the final nail in the coffin. So do they run the option?
They do.
With this quarterback, and is he a rookie? How many games has he played in?
Well, he isn't technically a rookie, but he might as well be, considering this is his first year starting. And yes, they will run a lot of read option. They'll run a lot of tricky stuff in that backfield. They'll run some counters. They'll run some bootlegs. They'll run some end-arounds. They'll even run some, like, flea flickers, halfback option passes, things like that. So expect to see the gamut from the Raiders in that backfield. All the tricks, the Raiders will pull them out.
And, Andrew, to answer your question, he has 10 appearances overall during the course of his career. He had 3 last season. Prior joined the team a little bit late. So he is essentially a rookie based on the lack of experience that he has. And recently, keep this in mind, we talk so much about his ability to run. However, last 3 games, 7 interceptions, 1 touchdown pass.
Yep.
So he's been prone to mistakes.
Well, listen, this is Andrew Senior. I hope the coach has told the people that as bad as they lost last week, don't be overconfident.
Well, that's been Coughlin's message this week.
The Raiders are a lot better than what they showed against the Eagles last week, no question.
Yep. Okay, thank you for having us.
Not a problem.
Appreciate it, Andrew Jr. and Andrew Sr. as always. Excellent work.
And the Andrew family
they
affair.
They really tightened up that transfer in the middle of the call between Andrew Jr. and Andrew Sr. That time, we didn't even know what was happening, and he was there.
See, I was expecting a little back and forth with Andrew Jr. after I made that comment about Terrell Pryor. Then Andrew Sr. jumps right in, transitions to a completely different topic. Very smooth. The execution was beautiful.
By the way, apparently we have posted our teaser trailer for Giants 1st and 10 coming up this week on MSG. Now, here is the deal. Lance seems a little confused by this, so I'm going to explain. This week, the Giants are revealing white pants. They're going back for a couple games this year. This week against Oakland, then in 2 weeks against Dallas. The Giants will be wearing white pants like they did back, I believe the last time they did it was 1999. But more popular than that, they wore the white pants during the heyday in the late 80s with the Super Bowls and all that stuff. So the Giants will be wearing the white pants with the blue jerseys. And on Giants 1st and 10, our very own Paul Dottino had a chance to model the white pants. And I saw our buddies, Greg Palmer, who's one of our editors. He put that teaser together, and it got posted on Giants.com this morning. He's got the cleats on. He's got the socks. He's got the pants. Play it, Lance. It's right there. Check it out. And it is quite the scene. Now, Paul claims he has given the pants back. I don't know if I believe it. I think if you're living in northern New Jersey, you might see Paul Dottino at some point power walking through your neighborhood with those white Giant pants on. And Vic Fontana on Twitter, he reminded me, good buddy Vic in Connecticut, if the Giants look like Paulie Deal in their white pants,
God,
we are in big trouble. Want some hot sauce with those chicken legs? Go, Paul.
Now, here's the question. Do I have permission to bring this up on the pregame?
Yeah, no
okay,
question
because he gets very sensitive
when
I talk about his wardrobe. So that's why I want to make sure. Okay.
You should have seen him. The most fun was watching him try to tuck in his dress shirt into the tight football pants. That might have been the highlight. That was not on camera, by the way.
Now,
no one wants to see that.
No, we do not want to see it, nor do we want to discuss it or break it down. How long of a process did it take for actually them to fit him for those pants?
I don't know.
That's what I'd like to know.
I
We're
going
to have to get into this.
I talked to our equipment manager, Joe Skiba, his brother Ed, who works down there, and said, guys, make sure you give him the extra small. I'm not sure if they actually did or not.
That was a good recommendation.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that we don't know yet whether or not he's allowed to keep the pants, or at least he's saying
he has the thigh and knee pads
yes,
in,
yeah,
too.
He has
you
the whole
saw that,
up,
right?
Yeah, I know.
No, apparently he said he gave the pants back.
Well, come on. I mean, that should be the apparel for all the power walks moving forward.
That's what I was thinking,
too. It goes very well with the Nike shoes. Come on. It matches.
He has the padding. It'll
Correct.
Prevent any knee or thigh bruises if he tends to run into anybody or runs into any, you know, signs on the sidewalk, maybe a bike rack. Something like that.
I want to thank the New York Giants and especially Paul Dottino for providing some more material for this week's show. I'm really excited now because I actually did not know about this.
Now,
this went under the radar.
It doesn't work on the radio quite as well.
No, it doesn't.
Images,
I mean, we could give play-by-play of it, but I don't really want to describe the makeup of Paul Dottino's legs.
201-939-4513. And Lance will have nightmares now for a few
days.
Yes,
I will indeed.
Like that. Steve in D.C. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's
Great
up, bud?
Show as usual.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, you know, like most of the other callers, man, I'm extremely concerned of us putting Rodgers on the IR. I mean, it just, you know, it bothers me because it just, like, you know, most of the calls have already said, it just seems like there's so many other people we could have moved to IR. But with that being said, the move is already, you know, made, and I'm just afraid. You know, his play is one thing because he has played well, but I think we're going to miss his veteran leadership down the road. And so I have a couple quick questions for you guys. Number one, how do you think he compares as an athlete to Sean Rogers?
Marcus Kuhn, you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Marcus Kuhn is a much more athletic guy in the sense that he can go sideline to sideline better, a little bit better on his feet. Now, Rogers is a great athlete for his size, but he's still a 300-plus-pound behemoth. So his mobility is going to be limited. Kuhn can certainly move a lot better and use his quickness a lot more along that defensive line.
Steve, I'm glad you asked that question because Schmelk was dying to use the word behemoth sometime during today's show. So thank you for that.
No problem, guys.
I was rather proud of that.
Yes, I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not really sold on that opinion at this point. You know, clearly, you know, he obviously looks the role, but I'm just not sure that his athleticism, if he's more athletic than Rodgers, will make up for his lack of experience. I think Rodgers makes up for his, you know, I wouldn't call it lack because he does move very well for a big man, but he knows where to be because he's been in the league so long. And I'm just wondering, you know, that concerns me because I just don't really know how comfortable Rodgers is going to be. Kuhn is going to be in our scheme at this point. But that said, you know, I can live with it. I mean, we do have lots of tackles. So, but let me ask you this, guys. You know, I saw the interview with Eli where you guys were alluding to that, we're going to kind of go with the short ball thing. I mean, that sounds really good. It's been, you know, it's obviously been a winning formula for us. But I think, personally, the first opportunity we get to throw that ball downfield, we are. I think it was a little bit more of a showmanship. Kind of saw a twinkle in Eli's eye when he said, we're just going to go with what what's been working. I'm really not convinced that we're going to kind of just, you know, settle for the, not dink and dunk, but, just get away from the long ball. And any chance here that we're just kind of waiting in the wings to really get back to what, you know, kind of woo everybody to sleep with their short passing game and then go right back over top.
Steve accusing Eli of some deception. A
yes,
twinkle
absolutely.
In the eye, a little wink, a little fingers crossed behind the back for Eli Manning.
I saw it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry with you.
Well, Steve, you definitely want balance, and I think right. that the Giants are not going to completely abandon the long ball, but Eli Manning, I think, got to the point where he understands if Victor Cruz is double-teamed down the field, why should I throw that if I could dump it off to Peyton Hillis for 5 or 6 yards?
Yeah, well, hey, listen, like everybody else, I'm happy we have balance here. And I'm really curious, how we're going to play Andre Brown. I don't think he should start. And, I just want the guy to be healthy and get his feet, back in the game. So, with that being said, guys, thanks for taking my call as usual. Like everybody else, I'm glad that the Skins went down. But I'm not one of those people who are going to concern myself with other teams losing. We just need to win. And everything else will take care of itself.
Thanks,
so,
Steve.
Let's go, Big Blue. Great show, guys.
All right, Steve, thanks.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And, I think Andre Brown, 5 to 7 carries, maybe 8 at most this week. He'll try to slowly get his feet wet, considering I know Jacobs didn't practice yesterday, but I think he's going to be able to go. And then, of course, Peyton Hill, so I think we'll get most of the carries and most of the looks. So I don't think you're going to see too much on Andre Brown, which is smart. You want to ease him back. You don't want to lose him again right away.
No, you have to move him along slowly. I don't see the point of bringing him back and running him 20 times. I think Hillis has shown that he can come off the couch and handle it 18 to 20 times, and now he's built up the ability to handle that on a week-to-week basis. He's more comfortable with the system. You stick with him. You use Brown as your change of pace, and then moving forward, all of a sudden, Brown can get to the point where he gets about 15 to 20 carries a game. Maybe.
I want to mention one other injury issue. Yesterday, both Tremaine McBride and Corey Webster could not practice, which could put the Giants in a bit of a pickle in terms of the cornerback position. If those two guys can't go, Jaron Hosley, he still hasn't played a game yet since that hamstring injury. He's still limited in practice. I guess he would be the starter across from Prince with Terrell Thomas as the nickel. Then you have Charles James in the mix as well. But if McBride and Webster can't play, Lance, the Giants could be very shorthanded at corner, and you might end up seeing a situation here where you move Terrell Thomas outside maybe a little bit. You put a rollback in that slot. You play Mundy and Will Hill at safety. They have some options, but it could affect some of the things they try to do in that secondary if both Webster and McBride can't go.
Well, you always want depth at corner, especially with the way Tremaine McBride has played. And by the way, Perry Fuel has made it clear Tremaine McBride is the starter moving forward. It's his job to lose. That was the exact quote from Perry Fuel, mainly because Corey Webster, his body just has not allowed him to stay fully healthy and be able to play X amount of reps each game. So they're going to stick with McBride and Prince, assuming McBride holds up. I think you alluded to the fact, John, they have some depth at the safety spot now. And you know what? It does not hurt them to have all three of those safeties on the field. Mundy was banged up. That's why he did not see a lot of reps against the Eagles. They went with the combination of Roll and Hill. But if you can move Roll to the side and now you have Hill and Mundy as your two safeties, you can work Prince into the mix. Maybe McBride can play, but you don't want to kill him and you don't want to give him 25 to 30 reps consecutively, so you mix and match it over the course of the game. I still think they have the personnel to match up okay with this Raiders team, at least. Long term, it would be a little scary, but let's be honest. When you look at this Oakland personnel, Denarius Moore, Rod Streeter, outside of that, unproven commodity.
And Streeter's banged up, too. Who knows how healthy he's going to be on Sunday. Jacoby Ford has made some big plays, but you're right, nothing consistent. Andre Holmes, who was a Dallas Cowboy cast off from a couple years ago, didn't even make the team out of camp, if memory serves me right. So,
and only
you're right.
One of their two tight ends is a guy that goes out and catches passes, that being Michael Rivera.
And they use Marcel Riesel out of the backfield, and that's more of a linebacker situation. So you're right. If you're going to have a game coming up the rest of the year where you can deal with cornerback injuries, it's this game. But after this week, it gets bad quick.
You would assume, though, they get healthier this game. That's the plan.
Though the Giants' history with cornerbacks staying healthy is not exactly strong. And Corey Webster's been nursing the same injury for 9 weeks now. He just had a bye week, and he's still not ready. Who knows when he's going to be ready to play?
Plus, the other reason why I would rely more on the safeties is you don't want to overwork a guy like Terrell Thomas. I mean, they've had to manage him throughout the course of this season.
He'd even practice Wednesday this week off of a bye.
So are you going to now put him in a position where he's going to play the whole game?
You can't. That's why it's so dangerous.
You have to be very conservative, I think, this week, because if you put him in a position where he aggravates that knee injury, you may lose him for multiple weeks.
And it's not even a point of aggravating the knee injury. The guy hasn't played football for 2 years. It's just a matter of, you know, wear and tear on the body. It could be a hamstring. It could be a calf. All the rehab he's done. You know, the legs wear out. And we all hope that doesn't happen for Terrell Thomas. We're all very thrilled and proud of the way he's come back from those, you know, three knee injuries. It's been unbelievable how well he's played this year. It's a great story. But that's why you have to be careful with him. You don't want to run him out there for 60 snaps on defense. You want to keep him in that 30 to 40 area to make sure you have him for the entire year. With all these injuries, they're going to need him now. You can't mess around.
And he has experienced swellness. I mean, he's been able to get through the last couple of weeks, but at times his knee has swollen up.
No doubt about it. 201-939-4513. John's down in Atlanta. John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Good morning.
Guys. Listen, this team still has flaws, guys. 2 wins, or, you know, 2-6. I mean, we still got 4 games to even get 500. You're gonna have to be above 500 to win this division. So I'm looking at, I'm listening to some of our fans who are talking about winning the division. We're looking ahead. We need to just pay attention to this game that's coming up. And the Raiders are better than what people appear to think that they are. I just think that we need to just focus on this game and get past this team before we talk about, you know, making the playoffs and winning a division.
Hey, I'm with you. And you know what? I like the fact that Giant fans this morning, John, are very leery. You feel like some of the Giant fans are thinking this is that type of trap game coming off a bye, Packers and Cowboys coming up. You know, the Giants have struggled in games like this before, especially at home, that this is a dangerous type of game, and I agree. This is the type of game where you rest on your laurels a little bit. Maybe you don't play, you know, with your most enthusiasm, and you're getting yourself into trouble. I hope the team, and I'm sure Tom Coughlin's talked to him about this all week, has that same feeling inside of them as Giant fans, because if you don't play well against the Raiders, they will beat you. They've been in every game this year except for two, the Eagle game and the Bronco game. So this is a team that can beat you if you screw up.
Right. I mean, Jenkins is not a bad corner. I mean,
no.
Jenkins is a really good corner. And Woodson, you know, of course, all right, everybody knows he's old, but he's still got a little in the tank. And,
Porter can play, too. Porter's a good player.
Right. I'm looking at the schedule, man, and you know, you still got three NFC East division games coming up. And, you know, and then, you know, you got the Seahawks, you got the Lions, the Chargers. you know, there's not an easy schedule coming along, guys. So we still got four games to get above 500. Come on now.
Well, every team they're still playing up ahead is in the playoff conversation. So when you look at their records, when you look at their makeups, I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, there is no easy game in the NFL, especially when you look at this Giants schedule.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Hey, appreciate the call, John. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513. Vinny in Pennsylvania, our good friend, giving his prediction for the game this weekend. He says Giants 24, Raiders 10. Laura Reno, one of our loyal listeners. I'm a Giants fan. Husband's a refs kind fan. Kids Giants fans, if Redskins win, husband gets no dinner.
To balance things off with Ann from D.C. that she was alluding to.
You know what? I think she had an autocorrect happen to her. I think that's supposed to be Redskin fan.
I would assume.
Yes.
I don't know of a team that is R-E-F-S.
Well, I thought maybe he was a fan of the referees.
Could be.
Which is a little odd.
Yes.
But I think spell
check
got
Redskins.
Her there, quite honestly.
Well, she did touch on Redskins later on in that sentence. So
right.
That's clearly what she was probably alluding to.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our calls, and this will be our final call of the show. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, long time no speak. How are you, bud?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Jeff.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. I've been listening. Sometimes I can't get through, but...
That's okay.
You know, as we've only won two games this year, to me it's almost like, the rest of the season is kind of like playing to with an eye towards next year. I think there's, some guys that are going to play it away off the team, to be sure. And
well, Jeff, I think you're still trying to win games, but you certainly are analyzing the team along the way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that'd be a better way of putting it. But nevertheless, there's no pressure on us. There's no pressure on us to win. So, I mean, everybody could be out there playing kind of loosey-goosey and not worrying about it too much.
Well, Jeff, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, you put yourself in such a hole. If these guys really do believe they can still make the playoffs, there's really a ton of pressure to win every game. You know what I mean? Because at this point, you can't afford any more losses.
No, we can't. And as I said the other day, if Coach Coughlin can get us to be an 800 team this year, that'd be quite a coaching accomplishment, to be sure. But I'm anxious to see how Andre Brown plays this week. I know he won't get a ton of touches because obviously he's very rusty, but I'm anxious to see how he does. And I'd also like to see a lot more production out of the tight end position. I mean, we got four guys that play tight end. To me, they all stink.
Good way to sum it up, Jeff.
I don't want to be misunderstood, but, there's not one of them that's worth two dead flies, in my opinion.
Hey, look, Bear Pascoe has actually been a pretty, in fairness to Bear, he's been a pretty valuable player this year. He subbed in for Hanoski, and he was at a fullback before John Connor got signed. He's a good blocker on the line. Is he a big pass catcher? No, he's not. Have the other three guys been a disappointment? I don't think that's a tough thing to argue.
Yeah, has that draft pick ever? I mean, that kid from Cincinnati.
Adrian Robinson.
Has he ever caught a pass in a regular season game?
I don't think Adrian Robinson has a regular season catch.
I don't think he has either. So,
yeah, it's about time.
What are we holding on to this guy for?
You know, and it's a weird thing. He's been hurt too. I was surprised he wasn't one of the guys that went to IR. They better see some production out of Adrian Robinson in the final eight games of the year. Let me put it that way.
And he probably goes home and dives into a big bucket of extra crispy Kentucky Fried Chicken every night instead of paying attention to what he's doing.
Well, he arrived.
Okay, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah,
appreciate
you guys,
the phone
call. Have a good day, okay?
You
and,
too.
And fairness, Adrian Robinson is in pretty good shape. And I think that's all Jeff meant with that comment was that, maybe he's not working that hard. But from all intents and purposes, in my opinion, that, Adrian Robinson is working hard. He's dealt with some injury issues, and as you were about to say, from in Cincinnati, Lance, he was a developmental guy. He was not ready to play tight end, at the NFL level. He never even played on the line of scrimmage at Cincinnati.
Well, and I was going to add to that, remember, he arrived late and he wasn't around for the majority of OTAs, so he had to play catch-up all of last season.
Yeah, but Cincinnati has that dopey four-semester
exactly.
thing where he didn't show up till June.
They go very late into the summer, so that's why he didn't have the normal practice reps that the majority of the other rookies had, and as a result, he was behind a little. So last season, you know, was a rookie year, but it wasn't really even a typical rookie year, because most rookies would at least have an opportunity to take what they digested in the playbook and show it on the field. To answer Jeff's question, he appeared in two games last season, no catches. That's the only thing on his resume right now.
Time to see some production. I think in that, I believe Jeff is correct.
Show me season and an opportunity to say to this coaching staff, listen, keep me around moving forward, because clearly they're going to have to make some tough decisions in the offseason.
Hey, look, same for Brandon Myers, too. He's on a one-year deal. If he wants to get re-signed here or even show something so another team wants to spend money on him, show me something these next 8 weeks.
Well, if there's any game that you would think he'd want to show something, probably be against his former team.
No question about it. And with the Giants trying to do the short passing game now, you'd think that he might be able to get in the mix a little bit more. He talked to the media yesterday. I had a chance to ask him a couple questions, and I said, you know, Brandon, what can you change? What can you do to get better and be more productive in the second half? He said, look, I just got to make sure I'm on the same page with Eli, which indicates they're not there yet, which that's a problem at this point. And if it's not, if it hasn't happened at this point, is it this year?
It's a scary thought. 8 games
and a whole preseason?
You would think at this point that they would feel comfortable with one another.
Yeah, you would hope. You would hope. How about the picks? What do you got?
The picks?
Well, I think we should handle a fantasy thing first. Lance with a very difficult Thursday night, taking on yours truly in our fantasy football league. And
difficult
there is
Thursday
a
night.
Big, nearly insurmountable lead heading into Sunday for Team Schmelk.
And there's a lot of players ahead. So
sure,
let's not jump to conclusions all of a sudden. I've seen this script before.
The
team jumps out to an early lead, and then the rest of the team struggles, and all of a sudden the rally caps are put on. Yes, you had a good performance from Pierre Garçon.
Yes, I did.
You had a cheap late touchdown from Adrian Peterson.
Still got two.
So you have a nice cushion there. I had Alfred Morris, who had a very good game.
Once again, not getting those goal line carries that you cherish.
Well, he got one goal line carry. The problem is Minnesota actually made a stop.
Now you have Andy Dalton coming off a brutal game, heading into Baltimore, the Lions' den. I don't think he's going to have trouble scoring for you. Going to the Andre Ellington bank against a very good Texans defense.
Mendenhall still battling a toe injury.
J.J. Watt, I think, will take care of business there for me.
I'm glad you're so confident.
You know, you got Victor Cruz against the Raiders. Double teaming him all over the field. And Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, you figure the Saints are going to be up by 30 in that game. You'll pull them both because they both dealt with some injuries. And, you know, Nick Foles on a bye. You have him in your starting lineup. I don't know what you're doing there. I mean, come on, Meadow. What are you doing?
Well, Nick Folk, there's strategy. I'm going to take care of business on Saturday. I don't figure I should waste a waiver claim on a kicker. Don't worry. I'm not going to let you get a free position on me.
Well, you're going to need to hope you can get down 32 heading into Sunday. That's all I'm saying.
You can make up that type of a lead. It's not as if you're up by 6.
I have Andre Johnson ready to run wild against Arizona.
Andre Johnson had a game last week where you think he's going to cool off maybe a tad. He's going to get a lot of attention this week. Trust me. You're not getting 3 touchdowns in the first half. So you could try to pencil that in, but that'll be wishful thinking.
I actually have a very difficult decision. I have 3 guys. I got to decide which 2 I want to start between Antonio Gates, Julius Thomas, and Terrence Williams. I only start 2 out of those 3 guys.
Gates and Williams in the lineup right now.
Yeah, I think that might change,
though. Thomas is nursing an injury.
The Cowboys defense will also be removed from my starting lineup.
Well, Carolina can score on San Francisco.
I think the 49ers defense is probably the safer
pick. Oh, the Niners defense is the safer pick, but that doesn't mean that Carolina's not going
to
score.
How many yards do you think the Cowboys are going to get up to the Saints this week? About 585?
Well, based on their track record, it's going to be an offensive clinic, I'll tell you that.
Yes, that is true.
Dallas has not had too many games where they've been able to shut down the opposition, and New Orleans is very angry because they're coming off a bad loss to the Jets, so you can imagine how they're feeling.
And I have my secret weapon on the bench that I haven't decided whether or not I'm going to unveil him yet to you this week.
And who would that be?
Harry Douglas.
Oh, boy. Wow. Clearly, with the way the Falcons' offense is performing, I'm a little concerned about that.
Hey, Harry Douglas has been excellent.
He has been very good. Oh, we expected that. Roddy White's been hurt. Julio Jones.
Roddy White back now, though, right?
So that could take away from Harry Douglas'
production. Well, that happened last week, but he was playing against the Panthers last week with a very good pass defense. Same for the Seahawks this week. So I'm confident, though. Very confident.
Hey, feel free to throw Harry Douglas out there. You can bench any of the guys.
I already put Julius Thomas back into the lineup.
Oh, you did. You already
did
that
week.
I'm glad.
By the way, the computer system has predicting a 20-point victory for the Upper West Side Kaisers.
No, it was a two-point victory.
159-139, according right now.
Well, you're looking at the preview? They made the adjustment. Keep in mind, though, I have a kicker giving me 0 points because I haven't made the
change. Oh, so you're saying that I already outperformed the computer simulation based on my
performance last night. No, it was 142-140.
Well, that's because I just inserted the Niners for the Cowboys defense.
Well, so
and
that's
I inserted
so
Julius Thomas for
and
Terrence
I'm going
Williams.
To make a tweak, and I may make a tweak at running back, too. I'm not necessarily giving away all my secrets. Saturday night, I reevaluate my circumstances.
It was clearly you're not out in the town doing anything interesting.
Yes, well, clearly. Well, I'll be getting some good sleep because we have an early game the last time I checked.
That is
true. We had a 4 o'clock game. Plus, if I'm correct, the Broncos play at, what, 4:25 on Sunday?
That sounds right.
So I hope that you can digest taking the risk. But you do have Antonio Gates, so I guess it's not too much of a risk.
No, that's true. And I have Terrence Williams playing Sunday night against the Saints. So
well, but Williams is healthy, though, so that's not going to be
well, a problem. Well, no, but I can always bring him in if Julius Thomas has an injury issue.
But you have to at least play one tight end, so you at least go to Gates.
So I will have Gates at the tight end position, and right now I have Julius Thomas at my flex position. So there you go.
Riding those tight ends.
Everyone except for two people got that game last night wrong, by the way. The Redskins,
people got it right.
They are just, they're struggling.
Well, they were up by 13. 27-14 game.
Outscored by 20.
First half dominated time of possession. Alfred Morris had a very effective half in terms of running the football. RG3 threw for 3 touchdowns. Minnesota couldn't stop anybody. Second half, they get to RG3. They sacked him a few times. They forced the Redskins to not have long, sustainable drives, and they got some possessions back and capitalized. I mean, it was a tale of two halves. That's the best way to describe that
they
game.
They get back Arakpo this year. They get back the other guy, Kerrigan, and nothing. Can't do it. Defense is worse. Terrible.
And the secondary has struggled. I mean, that's been no secret. They have struggled to stop the pass. Teams have had the ability to throw through the air on them. And it's not as if they're great against the run. Adrian Peterson was getting limited carries in the first half, but he was still getting good yardage per carry, and he wound up with 2 touchdowns. One was a pretty lengthy run from just outside the red zone. So, you know, the Redskins have trouble defensively. I would say every team in this division has trouble from a defensive perspective, with the exception of the Giants the last two games, who have actually showed some signs of consistency. The Eagles, up and down. Keep in mind, they creamed the Raiders the other week, but Oakland had more yards from scrimmage than Philadelphia did. Oakland nearly had 600 total yards of offense against that Philadelphia defense.
Did they really?
Yes, if you look at the numbers, they had 560, and
keep
the
in mind,
Eagles
though,
had 540.
That's a lot of prevent defense after the
You're
Eagles
right.
are up by a bajillion.
But Oakland can move the football, regardless of the circumstances, and Philadelphia has not had one game where I would say, wow, they have really contained an offense, with maybe the exception of that Dallas game. And that played into the hands of the Cowboys because also the Eagles were prone to turnovers. Nick Foles got hurt, and Matt Barkley came in. So I don't know how much stock he can even put in a contest like that. But for the most part, Philadelphia's been inconsistent, Washington's been inconsistent, and Dallas has certainly been inconsistent.
But when Nick Foles healthy, I think the Eagles' offense is going to be pretty good moving forward. I think there's ample evidence that in that clunker game against the Cowboys, something was wrong with Nick Foles because in every other contest, he's been pretty good.
And to me, he has better camaraderie and chemistry with some of the receivers. You know, he utilizes Riley Cooper, utilizes DeSean Jackson with the deep ball, and the tight ends get more involved when he's under center as opposed to Michael Vick.
And I forget what the numbers are, but somebody had a great post the other day on Twitter. His numbers in the red zone when compared to Vick is just night and day. He's so much better at getting the ball into the end zone for scores. And it really makes the difference. That's one of the problems Eagles have had this year in the red zone. They can't put it in the end zone, but Foles has been a lot better at it than Vic.
I think part of it is his decision-making, and the other part is, you know, Vic doesn't mind taking off to run, whereas Nick Foles, you know, is really not going to run, given the fact that he's been hurt more often than not. So he's going to remain in the pocket, and if he doesn't have any angles in the end zone, he's going to throw it away. Vic is not necessarily that type of guy. So the decision-making, to me, has been the biggest difference as to why they're more effective in the red zone.
You'd think, though, that Vic's running ability would give them another weapon down there to maybe get the ball into the end zone. I just don't think he's as accurate as Foles is in that short to intermediate area.
I think that's a big factor as to why Foles has had success in the red zone. And, you know, Foles is going to rely more on LeSean McCoy. If Vic doesn't feel that he wants to hand it off to McCoy and can't throw it in the end zone, he's going to take off. And the other thing is, you know, Vic can't stay healthy. Foles has been injury-plagued too, but you know what? At least Foles can stay healthy for a stretch of a few games as opposed to Michael Vick. Last time he's played 16 games, he was wearing an Atlanta Falcons uniform.
Oh, boy. Dave from Rochester has gotten wind of the Tino in the white pants. Do you know I want to see out of Dave? New Twitter avatar.
Well, he's always had the
I
want to
see a
Tino.
New one.
Oh, the new one you
Paul
want to
in
see.
The white pants.
That should be a good one. Yes. If Dave is listening very intently,
screen grab.
Screen grab it from Giants.com. Get to work over the weekend. By Sunday, I think that would be a perfect opportunity to unveil the new logo.
I agree.
Paul Dottino in white pants.
Oh, boy. Oh, Dave and Rochester up to 4 followers, by the way.
Talk about a low blow.
Oh, wait, I followed Dave. Why? Okay, now he's up to 5 because I just followed him. I thought I was following him already.
That's a bad job by you.
I thought I was following him. I guess I just have him in my Giants chat, so I see his tweets there. I thought I was following him, but now he's up to 5.
Well, you see, if Dave would write a blog about the New York Knicks, you know, maybe he'll have a little bit more
I'm
of a following.
I'm
clearly
disappointed
you know,
that
people
our,
are in your category.
I'm just disappointed that our mention of Dave on the show, at Dave from Rochester, I can't fit Rochester, I think it's too long of a username, that you know he hasn't gotten some more likes or followers on Twitter because of the mentions.
Well, keep this in mind. I think Giants fans are getting a little bit more exposure based on the new website setup because people can easily listen to the show and see the Twitter feed on the right. So hopefully that will help build up his following.
Are you throwing bouquets at Nile Shah?
No, trust
that
me.
Never
Notice
happens.
I have not even named the person who was responsible for that setup until you
Excellent
made
job.
Reference to
give him credit. He did a great job with it.
It's a decent job. Let's not give anybody a reason in this organization to pat themselves on the back any more than you already do.
All right, so let's take a look at the picks this week. Only 2 people with the Vikings last week. Does anybody pick the Cowboys to beat the Saints? Has
One
anybody,
person.
Let me guess.
Anita.
Did she actually submit
no,
a pick?
No, she didn't send it. I just thought it'd be fun to tell
Who decided to pick Dallas this week?
It's somebody who...
It's not Lance Meadow. It's not John Schmelk. It's not Nile Shah. Is it?
It
well,
is.
Nile,
he took
Nile
a lot of
likes,
risks and
Nile
chances
Nile
this
likes
week.
To take chances.
He
so
does.
There we go. Going
well,
the
he needs all the help he could get, considering he's 3 games below 500.
Right. Is he the only team on the 500 at this point?
Well, somebody else who decides not to make picks.
Well, she doesn't. She's done.
So, no, he would be the only person that follows the protocol of the rules in place that is under 500, correct. So he is the only one that took the Cowboys.
How about the Eagles? How many people picked the Packers? How many people picked Philadelphia?
That was more of a split. 3 in favor of the Eagles, 2 for the Packers.
I like Philly this week.
I like
really
Philly,
do.
Too. And Wallace is going to have another full week of practice under his belt, so that should help to a certain degree. But I think the way Foles is playing, as you touched on, I think Philly's going to gain some rhythm now.
And still no Randall Cobb available for them either. You know, I know Jordy Nelson and James Jones are now healthy. That's great. But,
No JerMichael Finley. He was placed on IR.
I like Philly. I like Philly in that game. I think they'll beat the Packers. Just a gut feeling.
And Green Bay doesn't have a very challenging schedule coming up. They're going up against teams that are bordering around 500. They've got the Eagles. They have the Giants.
Well, they're
next
playing
week.
All these NFC East teams. That
right. Well, and then they have the Minnesota Vikings, which have also struggled. So this could be an opportunity for them to still stay in the hunt for the divisional title, even though they lose their starter in Aaron Rodgers. But you still need to take into consideration that they have a lot more weapons on the sideline in addition to Rodgers. And their defense, which to me has shown improvement dating back to last season, has also been prone to some big plays. The Bears had a tremendous amount of success moving the football. So Philadelphia, after what they did to Oakland and some other defenses, you figure they're going to be able to pick up where they left off.
And what was our wild card game?
Well, we had one other game
well,
to pick.
Well, the non-division game.
Correct.
Excuse me. That was...
Bears
Detroit
Lions.
Lions. I struggled with that, to be honest with you. I went Chicago just because they were home in the end. But I had a lot of trouble picking that game. Got to admit, that was a tough one.
I went Bears too, and it is a difficult game, but there's a lot of factors to me why I think Chicago could very well have the edge. Number one, it appears Jay Cutler is going to be back, so that's something positive. Josh McCown's played very effective football, though.
Yeah.
That should not be overlooked. Big reason why they remained tied for the lead for the division was because McCown was not turnover prone and ran that offense effectively. Number two, I go by the law of averages in football. You tend to split with your divisional foes, and the Lions won the first matchup. So I would think that that could at least give Chicago the edge the second time around.
I like that theory. I'll buy that.
So that's why I went with the Bears as well.
Anybody go Lions?
Lions by Nile, and let's see who else. Dan Salamone also picked the Lions.
Danny. Okay.
Dottino, you and I picked the Bears. The wild card game, you could have really went anywhere with that. And I would say everyone did, with the exception of 2 people went the route of Denver-San Diego.
You can't. That's a 7.5-point spread.
Well, I thought 7 was the cutoff, though.
Yeah, it's 7.5.
You short 7.5 because that has fluctuated those spreads.
Look it up.
We'll double check what the latest spread is.
I think that's breaking our rule.
I'm not so sure about that.
Let me guess. Datino picked Denver.
Well, no, I'm guilty of that too.
Oh, you're trying to cheat the system.
I believe the last time I looked at it earlier in the week, it was not at 7.5. Because remember, sometimes the spreads do twist during the course
even
of the week.
Even if it's 7, you can't do it.
There were a couple of games,
seven or
if you
above,
remember.
You can't do it.
Remember, there were a few games the previous week where there were multiple big spreads.
Yeah, well,
and we decided we were going to scrap
that rule. You have more choices this week, though.
Well, I'm going to look at the spreads now based
Denver
on the update.
San Diego.
Actually, to be honest with you, it is 7 on the nose,
desperate.
Which means
well,
it makes
still
the cut.
Can't do it. No.
Well, no, 7 or
seven
less.
Or, no.
7 or less. Wait,
no,
now
seven
you're
or
changing
more.
The rules.
It's 7
no,
or
you're,
more
you're
is not
changing
allowed.
The
it's
rules
not 7
here.
Or less. It's under 7 or 7 or more.
Boy, you are desperate to break a tie with me for that second
I'm
place
I'm just not
spot.
Letting you break the rules.
I'll pick another game. Listen, there were plenty of other games.
So I'll pick another game.
I will pick another game. I will have to look over the other games, and then I'll make my tweak. Off the air. I'm not going to spend time wasting airtime debating on which game I'm going to go. But both Nele and I will have to make a change regarding that. But now I'm going to double-check each and every spread of the other games to make sure that everyone else follows.
Pittsburgh
the
is only
you
like a three-point favorite.
Well, let's
the,
just double-check
Bills.
To make sure that you're correct. All right, it's 3.5 in favor of the Steelers. Somebody else went the route of San Francisco, Carolina.
That's that. I think that's 6. I think that's okay.
At 6, correct.
No, I believe that that has a potential for an upset right there. And I actually had a couple decent options for the upset special. I almost picked San Diego as my upset special, but instead I went for the Falcons home against the Seahawks, only because I always think when the Seahawks go on the road, they have a chance to lose the football game. And I realize I'm going to be looking for some payback from last year in the playoffs. I get that, and it made me think twice about it, but I'll stick with the Falcons. I think they'll eke out a close win against the Seahawks.
Well, the Seahawks have 13 interceptions on the season, and Matt Ryan seems like he has 100 the last 2 weeks. He's been very uncharacteristic in terms of losing the football and making some bad passes. So to me, if he continues that track record, or let's say Seattle grabs an early lead and Atlanta has to be one-dimensional.
I want to worry about
that. That plays right into the hands of the Seahawks.
Where are you going? Where'd you go? You're upset.
My upset special went Tampa Bay over Miami on Monday Night Football.
All right. I'll buy that. Boy, could the NFL get a worse matchup and two teams to feature.
Well, it's between got a lot of storylines surrounding the game.
Well, not good ones. Between the Greg Schiano debacle and this, you know, Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin nonsense, which gets stranger by the day the more you hear about it. Ugh. I mean, I promise you right now, I will not watch a minute of that game. Not a minute. Unless you actually have Greg Schiano interviewing Jonathan Martin at halftime, I really have no interest in it.
I think the game's going to be closer than you think, to be honest.
I don't care if it's closer. I'm not watching the game. It's a bad football game.
Well, there's been a lot of bad
Dolphins
prime time
stink.
Matchups.
The Bucs are worse. Mike Glennon, Doug Martin's not playing yet. I mean, no thanks.
You're running out of excuses. Because
I have no interest.
You know, the Knicks are not playing Monday night.
I have no
interest. I'm just telling you, the Knicks are not playing Monday night.
Well, sometimes you want to have a game-free evening.
And a little head start on the Packers game maybe Monday night?
Maybe I'm going to go play some basketball on Monday night. Bro,
oh, really?
That?
Oh, how is the standing shaping up?
Oh, we are,
speaking of that.
We are 5-2.
In position to defend the title.
We beat a 6-0 undefeated team in first place last week by 7 points. And if we win next week, we guarantee ourselves a playoff berth. So we are very excited.
So the implementation of the 1-3-1 zone has been effective, I would say, the last few weeks.
We're a standard 2-3,
but
we also go man-to-man from time to time.
What about a full-court trap? Has that been implemented?
There is no full-court
trap. No full-court
trap. But we do go pressure man against some teams that are – if we have a sizes advantage, we like to use our quickness and really pressure the ball, force some turnovers, and that's when we go to our pressure man-to-man.
And then that leads to your offense, I'm sure, which is a much
no question.
So you follow the Mike D'Antoni school of thought on offense? 7 seconds and then release the shot.
We also rebound a lot better in man-to-man, which can be a weakness for us from time to time. We don't have a lot of size, so we're more of a hustle rebound.
You're
know,
better off
of
in rebounding with man-to-man than in zone,
exactly,
where people
saying.
Don't necessarily are in good position because they're more concerned with the area as opposed to a person.
Exactly. That's why we go man-to-man against the bigger teams.
I'm just giving you some
better.
Tidbits in case you haven't mentioned this in the huddle.
Because, as you know,
my resume in the game of basketball is highlighted with many accolades.
So we play next Thursday. That's the last game of the regular season. We win, we're in, and then we'll deal with the playoffs after that. So it's very exciting. I had a big game on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We talking triple-double area or?
Double-digit scoring, for
double
sure.
Double-digit,
yeah,
wow, okay.
For sure.
Now, what was higher, the rebounds, the assists, or the steals to
complement
the scoring?
Rebounds, I'd say.
Rebounds,
I'd probably grab about 7 boards.
Well, if you don't have much size, I would say you're probably one of the tallest guys on the team.
I play middle.
There we go.
I played middle last week. I had a big block shot with under 3 minutes to go up 4. Big block. I drove baseline. I got a little body. I thought they were going to call a foul, to be honest with you, but I got the ball up top. They didn't call it.
Well, it looks like you didn't pay off the officials too well.
No, I did. They didn't call the foul.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't give them too, a little. You should have gave them a little bit more, and then they would have maybe given you a call.
No,
way.
I blocked the shot.
Oh, you blocked. Oh, I thought meant that this was you driving down the baseline based on what you
said. I got
saying.
The swat.
Okay, all right. So then I guess you've handled the officials quite wisely. So, well, we're going to monitor how the standings shape up over the course of the season. Because I know you put space aside on the mantle for another trophy.
We're just wasting Neely's bandwidth on Giants.com at this point.
Oh,
we should
please,
wrap.
As if he's working hard anyway.
Yes,
come on.
We should wrap.
Yes, without a note. Well, we do have another show to promote, actually, where we'll have plenty of more time.
What show? Oh, yeah, that's right. Big Blue Hits comes your way at 3:30 today on Giants.com. Me and Lance will preview Giants and Raiders. Then, of course, the Giants pregame show on WFAN comes your way on Sunday at 11:30 on WFAN, 660 AM and 101.9 FM New York. So make sure you check that out as well. For Lance Middle, I'm John Schmoke. We'll see you next time right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.